the unfeigned faith of a mother. I remember a certain image of my mother when it came down to developing us as Christians. She took it seriously. She went to whatever means necessary to make sure that we were on the right track. She sacrificed, and she went when she felt good, and she went when she didn't. This told us that it was important to be there, and she had her children there. Now, I know there were times when I didn't want to be there that she made me be there, and there's probably times when I was there she wished I was somewhere else. But all in all, because of the example that my mother set, I got a true perspective of what being a Christian is about. You all are important in that way and in many other ways, but when you think about preparing your family for eternity, mothers, you have a tremendous job that you have to do. And I thank God that you do it so well. Because each of us sitting here today could speak of our mothers and talk to you about something special that they did and they meant to us, that they mean to us. And so you didn't call yourself creating those moments. You just lived. You just did those things. It was in your nature, in your DNA, to be the kind of person that would give us lifelong memories of good things. When times get tough, When we go through difficult situations in life, it is the comforting, reassuring voice of our mother echoing in our ear that says, "It's going to be all right, honey. You just keep on keeping on. It's going to be okay." And that statement, those kinds of statements have lifted us up out of some pretty tough spots, pretty difficult times. And so we thank you for those moments when you reached beyond what we thought was an impenetrable shell and reached down and touched us in our souls. The unfeigned faith of a mother. Paul says to Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also." The formative period, and this is a statement that someone made, they said that the formative period for building character in a person for eternity is the nursery. The mother is the queen that of that realm and sways a scepter more potent than that of a king or priest. Now, we don't know exactly who wrote that, but we have to say amen to the facts that he stated. The author's anonymous, but there is no denying the truth of that statement. There was once a movie titled "The Hand That Rocks the Cradle Rules the World." Is it a far-fetched idea to give that much power to someone dealing with a child who is powerless at that point? I suggest to you that it's because the baby that is a baby at that time will someday be a person making the decisions that will direct the affairs of the world. I remember when Darius used to come in here on the shoulder of his mama and his dad. Now he's getting ready to graduate. I asked him, I said, "Did you forget to wash your face this morning? You got some stuff." And now Darius said, "That's my beard." It happened so quickly. He went from a child to being a young man, and that takes a very short period of time. Pretty soon, Darius will be calling the shots. Right now, his mother and dad are telling him everything they need to do. But one of these days, he's going to be deciding on what they do. I say to all of you parents out there, you need to be kind of conscious and mindful of how you raise your children. Raise them to be kind and thoughtful and benevolent. Raise them to be tenderhearted and loving, because they're the people that's going to determine what nursing home you go into. The way that they're raised will show up one day as an asset or a liability. The child, when he's a baby, has no rules of his own. He doesn't have a value system. it doesn't have morals. It doesn't have a sense of duty or compassion. A child is a blank canvas, and so it will become either a masterpiece or a monstrosity based on what the artist does with it. It may seem unfair to lay this burden of the future at the feet of mothers, but by default, mothers lay the foundation for what the children will become. There's no neutral position in this arrangement. The state of righteousness that emerges from the character of a child usually comes from the seed that originates from the mother. I know, you know, I love my dad. For my dad, he was strong, he was brave. I knew that as long as he was around, nothing was going to happen to me because my dad was just that. But he could whoop King Kong, couldn't he, Nate? My dad could whoop King Kong if he needed to. And I appreciate him for what he was. But there was so much of the character that is in me now that came from the senses that I perceived from my mother. As a child, she seemed to look into the future and name the path that we would be on. She would tell us things about what our future would be like, and she would convince us that she was able to see it clearly, and in many cases, she was right. And she expressed confidence in us when we had no reason for confidence, and we lived to fulfill the prophecies that she made, not knowingly, but because she said that. You know, I had no intentions. Not one, not even one passing intention of being a preacher. But one day as I served around the table, as I see my grandsons do, she said, one of these days you're going to preach. I said, this time you're wrong. This time you're wrong, Ma. But she looked down in the future and she saw something. And it's that power that God grants mothers that enables them to put their children on the right path. You even know when you have a kid that needs a little extra attention. Not all children are perfect. Nobody is perfect. But some kids have a little nature to want to have a wandering eye and do things that they maybe shouldn't do. And mothers can see that. And so they work a little harder with those. They put a little bit more into them. They make sure that they're not drawn into this thing that they're inclined to. Because we all have different inclinations. But a mother can see down the road, and a mother will say, okay, now, you know that's not right. You know that you're going to hurt somebody. You know that your future will be cut short. And they give you these kinds of warnings when nobody else will. You know, your friends out there are telling you, go ahead and do it. And they're telling you that because they want to see what happens when you flop, when it goes badly for you, so they can laugh at you. Paul saw something that was pronounced in the character of Timothy, that it manifested itself to him as something that was very positive for the kingdom of God. Paul saw that Timothy appeared to be genuine. He didn't see a Timothy that is a Sunday Christian only. He didn't see a Timothy who would only serve the kingdom of God if he couldn't find an excuse to get out of it. He didn't see a Timothy that only came to church on special occasions. Paul saw a Timothy who was full of faith in God, a Timothy who realized that if he didn't make a choice to be faithful to God, that the world would likely sweep him up in the empty promises of gratification and cause him to miss eternity in heaven. Timothy had a faith that showed, and Paul was able to see it. We can see the faith of others in the way that they follow God. You know, and unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever the case might be, our children can see it. They can watch you come to church, and they watch you come to church every Sunday, and then they can see you rush to get home, to divorce yourself from any thoughts of what you just experienced at church. They can tell when you're genuine. They can know when you say amen that you mean amen. They can say that when you say praise the Lord that you really mean it. They know these kinds of things. God equips them like that. They're vacuums. They're magnets. They're sponges. They take in and soak up everything. And so it puts us under kind of a tough spotlight, especially mothers, because they spend more time with you than they do anyone else. At least they used to. Paul credits Timothy's mother and grandmother for inspiring his extraordinary faith. One of the greatest lessons we can learn from Timothy is to live a genuine life of faith. Timothy was quite young when he first met the Apostle Paul. Timothy's father was Greek, a Gentile. His mother was a Jewish. She was an Israelite. Some people think, based on the comments in Paul's letter to Timothy, that Timothy was timid. Yet a closer look tells a different story. He took on persecution, and he faced it, and he weathered it. You know, I just have to tell you, you don't need to judge a book by its cover. And we need to inform our kids that everything that's hot ain't necessarily light. People get swept up in these preachers who can preach, and they can set the house afire. You know, they just give all this stuff. People be ready to walk the pews, and they ain't really got nothing behind them. They're all heat. We need to teach them the difference between heat and light. And folks, we also need to teach them the difference between noise and authority. There's some people who make a whole lot of noise, but they don't know what they're talking about. They don't have no authority. We don't need to follow people because they make up more noise than anybody else. These are the lessons that a mother needs to inform their children about early. Look for what is genuine. Look for what is real. Don't let somebody with smooth words and entertaining act draw you into something just because you had a good time listening to them. Timothy kept company with Paul behind bars while Paul was locked up. More than once, he nearly died. He was a faithful courier to Paul. He served the church at Ephesus in Asia Minor, where members were predominantly Gentile. We can learn a lot from the young evangelist Timothy, a Greek to the Gentiles and Jew to the Jews. And in each case, he was serving the cause of Christ with a fervent conviction. We can understand at this point right now that he didn't get that just out the air. He was taught. He was shown. Show me the way, Trevor. He was shown how to be a Christian at an early age, and it became a part of him. You know, one of the problems we have right now is we got enough Christians to make them a mile wide, but they're only a quarter of an inch deep. We need to put some depth in our children. We need to guide them with some fervency. We need to give them some true conviction so that if you're not there, they're going to let their convictions guide their lives. You wonder why your kids get in trouble sometimes? They get in trouble because they don't have any convictions of their own. They let somebody else point the way and they follow them. They tell them that this is all right. You do this and everything will be fine when they know better. And so what we have to do is we got to put some conviction in our children. And that conviction has got to say right is right all the time and wrong is wrong all the time. It's no mistake that forever recorded in the timeless life-giving words of God is the influence of the mother and the grandmother of Timothy in the life of this servant. The implications are powerful. What Timothy became was due to what he had been taught. What he had seen, what the reality of the lives of Lois and Eunice actually were. Timothy was consciously raised to believe in and serve God. If he had not been shaped by these genuine believing women, then likely he wouldn't have become a genuine believing man that caught Paul's attention and he became a vessel of God. A grandmother influenced the mother, who influenced her son, and that son helped to usher the church that Christ established through its infancy. You can look back and you can connect the dots. Lois and Eunice played a part in the survival and the proliferation of the church by teaching Timothy. The importance of the influence of a mother is clearly demonstrated in the example of Timothy. There's no greater job than a mother's job because she is given a power, a great position of power to shape the world and the future of mankind as she shapes the minds of her children that God has entrusted to her. You know, God has a plan. God has entrusted us with the next generation, we who are of this generation. You see, the only system that we have to save the world, that God put in place to save the world, is that a godly man and a godly woman would come together, become one flesh, and they'd raise godly children. And they teach those children to be as godly as they are so that when they get old, they can meet a godly woman and get married, and they would raise godly children too. Now, if you take out the godliness to you, then you just have people coming together. You don't have God's plan coming to fruition. God's plan depends on us consciously doing what we can do to spread it to the next generation. We don't need to spread them half-hearted and non-convicted ideas. We need to let them see we live in it. Why are children weak? Because they've been fed on a weak formula. Just look like a Christian on Sunday. You can act like what you want to act like the rest of the week, but just look like a Christian on Sunday so you won't embarrass anybody. But you see, that's wrong. Once again, they're going to have 7 days in which they have to deal with the problems that will confront them from the world. That one day on Sunday is not the only day they got to worry about. Your odds are 7 to 1, if you live like that. Being a mother, one of the world's toughest jobs. Can I get a good amen from any of y'all? No? Okay. Well, I want to tell you, I know that to be the case. Being a mother is one of the toughest jobs in the world. A job that makes no provision for off days. You don't get off day. You don't get sick leave. You don't get vacation time. You have to be a mother every day of the week, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And you have to deal with some tough stuff sometime. Because our kids bring some stuff home sometime that you wish they had never encountered. But they bring it home. It's going to come home with them, y'all. And so you've got to be on lookout 24 hours a day for this stuff. And you got to weed it out. Let me tell you, y'all remember that stuff used to grow around here called kudzu? Somebody say they brought that stuff in from Georgia. Well, it came in here and it covered up everything. If you let it get a foothold, it will cover up your light poles, it'll cover up your house, your car, it will cover your children up if they stood still long enough. That stuff you need to weed out before you get started. And we got a lot of stuff going on in the world that's just like kudzu. We need to weed it out before it gets started. It'll overtake our children before they get a chance to get started. The future of mankind hinges on that job being well done. The souls of the people that your children will touch in the future will go in the direction of the teaching that you gave your children. Yeah, there's some folks that don't follow your kids. There's some folks who are going to admire them and they're going to look to them for some sort of direction. Maybe they don't have direction where they are, but they'll follow your kids. Now, you will not only be responsible for the outcome of your children, you have to be mindful that you're responsible for the outcome of the people that they come into contact with, that believes in them, that follows them. You know, we don't often think about it, but where the elders going to come from this next generation? Where the deacons going to come from? Where the teachers and the preachers going to come from? Where the wives to all these men going to come from that should be suitable mates? Where will they come from? They'll come from the lot that has been grown by this generation, by the ones who are now shaping the world. There's another great example of a mother who thought about how important it was to give her son to God. That mother's name was Hannah. Over in 1 Samuel, and you're familiar with the story, but if you want to go back there and refresh your memory, it's 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11. And we know the story, so I'll skip down to verse 11 to bring you to the real crux of what I'm trying to say. Verse 11 says, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaiden and remember me and not forget thy handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." Now, that's kind of different than the philosophy we follow in this day and time. I'm going to raise my child and let them decide what they want to be. No, no, no. You know your children. Sometimes they're wise and sometimes they're otherwise. And we need to guide them. Hannah, will you come and do a Ladies' Day program for us? We need to learn how to give our children to God early. And we give them to God by letting them know that you belong to God. Many have dreams and worked hard for their children to become successful professionals. I see that all the time. I see right here people work hard. They want their children to become doctors and lawyers, professional athletes, so forth and so on. In today's world, who is it that raises a child for the service of the Lord? Into the hands of our children, we must one day place the hopes of all the salvation for future generations. Will they have the foundation and determination to carry the burden of saving the next generation based on how they have been equipped? That makes the job real tough for parents, y'all, especially moms. It's tough. We got to think in terms of that. Are we foundationing them for the future? Are we giving them what they need in order to succeed in this world that's coming fast at them? But that's why I'll repeat the thought. Your job is one of the world's most important jobs. It's tough. It's hard. Sometimes it's thankless. But nevertheless, it is one of the most, if not the most important, from an earthly perspective, jobs that exist in this world. Listen to what Abraham Lincoln said. All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Many of us could say that. That's the truth. But that was a biggie. That man, boy, I tell you what, we need to read the story of Abraham Lincoln to see how much he dealt with just trying to get to right, just trying to do the right thing. George Washington said, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in my life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education that I receive from her. What a statement from the man who would be the first president of the United States. Well, let me tell you where conviction shows up. Let me tell you how it manifests itself when it has been planted early on. This man says, there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe nor political nor proper, but he must take it because conscience tells him it is right. Martin Luther King Jr. speaking, manifesting those things that was taught him, undoubtedly, by a mother who believed that no matter what you encounter, right is right. Where would this country be if it were not for the influence of these mothers over their sons? If there's a message to be gained today for mothers, it is that mothering must be done, giving the utmost care to what the end results will be. In fact, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15 says, the rod and reproof gives wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Isn't that interesting? This verse says that a child reflects his mother. And so the question begs, why isn't it to the father a shame as well? Well, in reality it is. There are expectations assigned to the functioning members of the family unit. If a family suffers from the lack of food, clothing, shelter, or is exposed and unprotected, the natural assumption is that the man has failed in his duties as a provider and a protector. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, but if any man provides not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and he's worse than an infidel. You know, I'd like for us to get one of the big old school buses. Can we get a big old, how large do they come, Maurice? The biggest one. 84, yeah, we could use 84 people loaded up. And we need to go around here and find these young men who made babies and walked off, look off and left them and do some drive-by whippings. Their job is to take care of the children that they make. And they forgot that. Somebody didn't teach them that. And a whipping might help them to understand it's just that important. Well, and when it comes to the mother's part, if the house is not a home and the children are unruly and rude and ill-mannered, then the negative light is shown on the mother of the house. See, mothers and fathers must work in concert to produce a child that is fashioned for the service of God's kingdom. Parenting is a shared responsibility by both parents. But Titus chapter 2 and verse 3 tells mothers, the aged women likewise, that ye be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. We got a bunch of beautiful young women out here that don't know A from Bullfrog about being a mother. And there's a reason for that. I'm going to let y'all kind of work on figuring that out, and y'all can bring that back to me in a report at the midterm. But we're to teach children to be clear and rational in their thinking, the young women, not under the influence of some foreign stimuli. And I'm not talking about drugs and drink. I'm talking about things where people who get up on the stage and half-dress and do all this stuff becomes the people that they admire. Y'all know who their heroes are. All of them want to be like Beyonce. And I want to tell my grandchildren right now, if I see y'all up on a stage dressed like that doing what she's doing, y'all got trouble. Y'all can become performers, but don't. You're gonna have to deal with me, because that's not what you raised to be. The Bible goes on to tell the women to love their husbands and to love their children, and to be discreet, chaste, and keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You see, God's word has set up this whole organization called family. A man and a woman and the children make up God's plan. That's how he perpetuates the world. And so when the devil gets a chance, he accuses that system of failing. You see, oh yeah, that man, that woman, they came together, look at them rotten children they got, them kids that ain't worth two dead flies. That's blaspheming God's word. And that's what he wants to do. And it's our job to make sure that he doesn't have any legitimate complaint to make in that regard. The most intense emotional impact on the entire family rests with the mothers. From where the mother sits, she has a great impact on the entire family. If she fails the daughters, then daughters won't grow up to be the women that they could and should be. She'll have the wrong set of values. If she fails the sons, then he won't have the proper appreciation for his family when he grows up, falling short of the need for wholesome leadership of the family. If she fails the husband, then he's denied the only true ally that he has as he faces the battles that challenges him as he tries to move his family forward. There's a lot hinging on you, and this is not a beat you up, bring you down thing. This is just simply a let's open our eyes kind of get together today, because I think you do a wonderful job. I think you overcome a lot. I think you have faced a whole lot of challenges, and you've come out victorious. But we need not to ever sleep on it. We need not to ever take it for granted. The kind of job that you mothers have to do is not for a woman that's short on commitment. You have to commit from day one that you're gonna make it, you're gonna win, you're gonna have that positive impact on your family. Too many young women take on the challenge of being a mother without thinking about what's required of them. When the intensity, the immensity of the job is realized, some of the young mothers just want to turn and run. But as you who have been around know, you can't run from being a mother. You might want to run, but you can't run. And if you run, you won't be running away from being a mother. You'll still be a mother. It's just that you may be lacking. So what does a mother have to accomplish? Well, you have to instill faith in God, first and foremost. Instill faith in God into your children. You have to be faithful to God. You have to be faithful to your husband. Then you have to be faithful to your children. A big job. Those are three little things sounding things, but those are immensely big things as you shoulder the things that you must shoulder as a mother. And one songwriter says she's faced the hardest times you could imagine. And many times her eyes fought back the tears. But each time her slender shoulders bore the weight of all her fears, and a silence that no one hears still rings the midnight silence in her ears. She's a child, oh, but she's a lady. You take wisdom where you can find it. And that, without a doubt, is just truth. I hope that today is, from the beginning to the end, is one that highlights mothers, highlights you. I hope it's satisfying and full of love and just brings you to a realization that it's worth it. All that you've been through, it's worth it. Now, I don't want you to think about everything because it might become overwhelming. Just say to yourself that it's worth it, because there's a lot that you have already dealt with and likely a lot more to have to deal with. But God chose you. And you know what? So far as I know at this point, God has never been wrong. So when he chose you based on the fact he knew you had the strength. He knew you had the intelligence. He knew you had the compassion and the love and the commitment that it takes in order to be a mother. And so we thank you, mothers. The best thing, I would guess, that one of the best moments in the life of a mother is for her to see her child give their life to Christ. I mean, so many times, and I miss Sister Hunter, because she was everybody's mother. And when she saw somebody get baptized, she was going to let it out how good she felt. You know, I understand that. And that's the feeling we all should have. If you're a child, but not a child of God, then you ought to take a burden off your mother. You ought to make a decision to give your life to God, to start to live in such a way as to bring glory to him. And when you bring glory to him, to God, you bring glory to her, because somebody's going to say, look how well she raised that child. And they'd be right. If you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we ask you today to come, hearing the word, believing the same, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ to be God's son, putting him on in baptism for the remission of sin. God will add you to the church. You will begin a walk, the most productive walk you've ever taken. If you're a member of the church and you've not lived a life that represents the presence of God in your life on a daily basis, then you can straighten that out. You can rectify that. God's willing to forgive you. We just need to ask. And we'll pray with you and for you. And I guarantee you, God will forgive you of your shortcomings. And if you have other things that's hanging over you, life is full of problems. Well, if you got some problems but you don't have enough answers for them, God does. Let's pray together on that. And then we'll wait to see how God answers your problem. If you're subject to the Savior's invitation, why don't you come right now as we stand and sing our invitational song.